Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Welcome to Morning Manna with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle. Greeting you with joy this morning. Amen. And greeting you with expectant joy this morning. How's that? Okay. Glad to have you on board. Glad to hear what the Lord is going to say. Some things start stirring in my spirit just a little while ago. Oh, let's see what the Holy Spirit is going to do with us this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we bless and magnify your name. We give you praise. We do thank you for this glorious day. We thank you, Father God, for what this day means to so many of us. And we celebrate the birth of Christ child. We also celebrate Hanukkah on this day. We just thank you, Father, for the light that's shining out of darkness in this hour and continues to shine throughout the earth. So we give you praise for that. We thank you, Father, once again for every listener, everyone that dials in or catches up with us on the internet. We thank you for their presence today. We certainly pray for them that they have a glorious day. We continue to lift up the city of Detroit. We thank you for this great city that you've given us, and we thank you for all cities that are connected, especially on this line. We thank you for that, what you're doing in our midst. And once again, for that, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, we thank you for always being there to enlighten, to give direction, to lead, teach, guide, bring wisdom. We thank you. And as you open us to receive that which you would have for us today, we thank you. So speak to us, through us, for us, that we may run with the message and share it with others. Oh, Father, we do give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, once again, welcome to Morning Manna and the word that the Lord has just dropped in my spirit, as he does often on these Sunday mornings. Amen. Living victoriously in the midst of darkness. And those of you that may not see the episode information I have it in front of you, the thought that came to me were a couple of questions. Are things getting better, or do they appear to be getting worse? Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel, or does your life look like unending walls of confusion? Is there an expectant hope looming before you, or is barely making it your testimony? Do you really feel like saying Merry Christmas? And then, of course, join me. I want to tap into that, because what the Lord has dropped in my spirit is Isaiah 9, the first 9 verses, I guess. And I want to share that with you in some thoughts. And I'll be reading out of the Amplified Bible. And those of you that may want to follow me, please do. But in the midst of judgment, there is the promise and the certainty of the Lord's deliverance, and there shall be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make it glorious by the way of the Sea of Galilee and land, through the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of battle. For the yoke of Israel's burden and the staff or rod of goading their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor you have broken, as in the day of Gideon with Midian. For every trampling warrior's war boots and all his armor in the battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of this government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to unfold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. Let me continue. The Lord has sent a word against Jacob, the 10 tribes, and it has lighted upon Israel, the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Ephraim. And all the people shall know it, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, its capital, who said in pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks have fallen. Amen. What stirred in my spirit this morning, and I guess what's been, stirring in all of us, I guess, to a degree, is that we have been obviously, walking in seasons of great darkness, especially when we see the things going on around us in the world, and especially the things that are happening in the midst of the church. And I guess that's where we want to just kind of hang our hat this morning as we look at some things, because if the church isn't living victoriously, then we certainly can't expect the world to evidence victorious living, simply because the church is supposed to be setting the example in the earth. It's because of the church's intercession, the church's presence, the church's faith, all those things, church's connection, certainly with God. All those things are the plus part, the plus sign in life, and that if we are absent of those things, and of course there's a downward spiral, spiral downward, if you would. So if the church is spiraling downward, of course the earth would be spiraling downward also, because the church is given to the earth to bring the earth in alignment with the purpose and plan of God. So as we look around and we see the things that are evident in the earth, it is clear that something, there's a gaping hole somewhere. There's somewhere that there's not the the light, if you would, that needs to be shining out of into the darkness so that the darkness would dissipate. So we look at that, and I guess where we would start first is our own, would be in our own Jerusalem or our own homes, our own cities, our own communities, our own families. And we begin to look around at those places, and what is the tenor? Are they dark, or are they medium? Are they light? In many instances, they're dark. Amen. And maybe not as dark as dark can be, but dark. And so we have to speak, or inquire, I should say, to ourselves, specifically to the Holy Spirit, to find out, well, why is this darkness? Why is there darkness? You know, anytime there's darkness, that means there's an absence of light. Amen. Darkness can't live in light. Light dissipates darkness. Light pierces the darkness. So if there's darkness around us and darkness in us, then that would be a clear indicator that light has been compromised in some manner. And so we have to really begin to look at that and see, why is that so? Why is there darkness in a place that there's supposed to be light? Why is there darkness when I am supposed to be part of the light of the world, simply because I carry the light of Jesus on the inside of me? Why is darkness so evident and not light? And that just came to my spirit, and it's a question that I suppose all of us should be asking ourselves. Why is there this prevalent darkness around us? And when I say around us, up close and personal with us. Certainly we look out in the world and we see darkness, but are we supposed to look in within our own world and see the darkness when we are the light bearers? Amen. Good question. Amen. Good question. Probably a good place for discussion sometime soon. So we are in this state, like we said, we look around us and it would appear that things are getting worse, that they are getting darker. And I think that a lot of times we see that because that's what we either expect, or that's how we have gauged, that's how we view the world around us. If we expect to see darkness, we're going to see darkness. if we see darkness instead of seeing the light that's shining out of the darkness, then we're going to see the darkness. What we hang our hat on is what we live in. What we highlight is what we can expect to walk in. So it seems like at times like these, especially these early morning hours, is a good time to, as Cindy Trim would say, command our mornings, so that our mornings can take control of our days. Because if we allow ourselves to be open to the reality of the true and living God, then we would, in many instances throughout the day, see sparks of light, regardless of where we are, regardless of what we, how we're feeling, because of the relationship that has been established between us and God, the relationship that should be in, continually flowing with Holy Spirit. There can always be a check in our spirit, even when we feel like we're going down this dark path. If there is that that strengthening relationship, we will get that tug from the Holy Spirit to pull back, come back, and we all need that. I'm believing that our ability to handle darkness is predicated on our communion with Holy Spirit, because His voice, listen, His voice is louder than what we see. Now that just came from Him for real. His voice is louder than what we see. The Holy Spirit can speak to us in a dark place, and we can hear Him just as clearly, because He's not speaking to us, He's speaking through us. He's living on the inside of us, and He's dealing with us in our internal mechanisms, if you would, glory to God. So we can hear Him more than we can see what we're looking at. But then that, too, is predicated on communion. Are we in communion with Him? Or is He just a convenient companion at times of need? Or is He walking us through life? Is He greeting us at every crack and crevice, every corner, every turn? Are we cognizant of His presence? And that that has to happen as we are moving in dark seasons. Because if we do not have that encounter and we cannot build that type a relationship, then we cannot be light in dark places. If we are not cognizant, if we are not aware, if we are not continually conscious of what is to happen with us as we ingrain ourselves with a presence of the Holy Spirit, then we cannot function in darkness, because darkness would overwhelm us, because we do not have the component of the relationship is going to bring light out of into that dark place. See, it's the light manifesting in us and through us that shifts the atmosphere around us. It's a light that we carry that dissipates the darkness we encounter. Come on, somebody, hear me. It's the light that you carry that counters the darkness that you engage, that you approach, that you encounter. It's that light. Because once again, darkness can't stand in light. Light dissipates the darkness. Light, dark, it's just no such thing as darkness shadowing over light. It'll never happen. So if I'm carrying the light and everywhere I go, regardless how dark it may be, not asking that one to be dark simply because you showed up. Glory to God. And we have to weigh those things. Could God be allowing us encounters with darkness too? Help us get a revelation that we need more Holy Ghost activating in us, operating in us and through us, then so that we can be more conscious of where we're going and how we are approaching those things in the earth. Are we expecting the darkness to get better without our contribution of light? It'll never happen. So once again, living in dark places, we'll maintain darkness until light appears. And so once again, going back to our scripture this morning, they that lived in darkness, the people who walked in darkness, verse 2 of that Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death upon them has a light shine. Amen. So when we look even in this season, Christmas, the celebration of the birth of Christ, and even this year, Hanukkah, that started at sundown last night, the holiday of lights, all that evidence of light, how is it impacting the area that we're in, or how is it meant to impact the area in? If we don't do it, it will not get done. As simple as that. And sometimes we have to be drawn away. Sometimes we have to pull ourselves away from those places that are compromising, if you would, our ability to infuse our relationship with Holy Spirit. And when I say infuse, get it to that place of igniting. Amen. So those who are saying this is I'm not liking Christmas, I'm not liking this and that, it's usually because of the attacks of darkness that have happened in their lives early or even right now. And that's another teaching, but that's a place where we have to be, especially those who walk among us, the brothers and sisters in Christ who walk among us, that are despondent in this season. There has to be a greater sensitivity coming out of us for them, because we don't know what the enemy has done in their lives to try to destroy them from operating even as a gift to the body of Christ. We don't know what the catalyst is that's causing them to act the way they act. But sometimes it takes the light that they encounter, which is us, to help that darkness to dissipate. Listen, the light that we encounter does not come from us. It comes from the Holy Ghost dwelling within us. So he knows exactly how we are to approach. He knows exactly what we're to say. He knows exactly what we're to see. He knows exactly what's to happen, because his concern is that one that we're walking with, or that one we are engaging. His concern is that they too will see the light. And they will see the light if the light is shining through us. And it is critical that we understand that in this season, because there's getting ready to be much more darkness ahead of us. But that darkness is comparable. Listen, the darkness of the earth is comparable to the light that we carry. Hear me. There is no darkness greater than the light we carry. If it is, then God's not going to let us encounter it. That whatever dark place we find ourselves in, we have the light to dissipate the darkness, okay? But sometimes we allow the darkness to overshadow us instead of the light in us overshadowing or dissipating the darkness, amen? And I know which way I was going this morning, but I'm just hearing what the Lord is saying, because we are stepping into a critical season and we must manifest the light. We must manifest the light in this hour, because we will all be held accountable for the light that we carry, that we put a basket over and refuse to let it shine in the midst of the time and season that we're in. So the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Are they going to see the light out of us? That answer must be yes in this hour. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of battle. For the yoke of Israel's burden and the staff or rod of goading their shoulders, the rod of oppression, you have broken it in the day of Gideon with Midian. And so what Isaiah is saying is that bondage, that yoke, that thing that was meant to destroy has now been compromised because of the appearance of light. It's been challenged and it's been defeated by the appearance of light, that it cannot function, it cannot move in the power and authority of the negativity that it was moving in, because now it's been impacted by light. And that we understand that until we show up, there are those in bondage that will maintain a place of bondage until the light that we carry dissipates. Amen. I don't know. I believe that what the Lord is doing is getting us so consciously aware, even where we go, where we supermarkets, malls, wherever we show up, there's got to be a thought in the forefront of our mind that this could be an encounter with darkness. It is an encounter with darkness because everywhere we go, there's darkness. But are we cognizant of the fact that we have been there, sent in to dissipate the darkness? 9 times out of 10, probably not. And that's one of the advantages that hell has over us. That's one of the advantages that the enemy always has, because as long as we are oblivious to who we are or what we do, in this case, light bearers in this case, then he can get away with a whole lot of stuff because there's not a force behind what we're doing. Amen. The light has come, and the light is there, but will there be a manifestation of what the light is doing? And if we aren't cognizant of it, then no, it will not. In fact, if I don't know that when I leave going to the market, I'm going for more than milk and bread, that it may be an encounter with darkness, then there can be darkness all around me, and I'll be totally oblivious to it, even though the light that I'm carrying will shine, but it will have no effect on me or the person that, or a situation that is encountering it, because there's nothing that's tying it together. There's not an inward prayer going on or outward act going on. There's nothing that's happening in the authority of what we carry that's causing the darkness and causing hell to know that darkness has begun to dissipate. Our discernment is compromised because we are oblivious to the fact that we are shown up as light in dark places. So we have to be cognizant of the fact that in the season that we're in, there are many bowed and broken people that need the appearance of light. If there's not a word exchanged, then there has to be an acknowledgement in the realm of the spirit that something is going on, so that we can take authority over the darkness that has captured God's people. And when I say God's people, his created beings, if you would. So we have to move in that season. So yes, there is great darkness ahead, but yet there's also great light ahead. But then whether or not the darkness yields to the light is predicated upon the light harvesting the darkness. Amen. In other words, bringing the darkness under control of the light that we carry, simply because we understand who we are and what we are doing. We cannot allow the enemy to keep moving us in this place of deception where we are not aware of who we are and what we carry. I said, and I don't know if I said on this broadcast, but one of the things the Lord said to me immediately after the elections, and I'm not going there, but I'm just saying, he said that the body of Christ cannot believe that any party won this election. He said it wasn't a party that did it. He said it was me. And we can't, and see what happens if we feel like we have taken in anything, if we feel like we won, if that we feel like we are the reason that there's been a win, we're going to find ourselves kicked back celebrating somewhere. And God is saying, you don't have anything to celebrate. In fact, we need to be pressing even more on our face before him for this nation and for this world, that his purpose will be fulfilled, because after mercy comes judgment. Amen. And we're under the blanket of mercy right now. And I need to put that out there. Somebody is strutting around like peacocks because they think that they've done something in the outcome of the election and everything else that's going on with it. No, it not about any of us. It's all about God. It's all about God. And he will reveal it as he determines. He's sovereign. And he does as he chooses in his sovereignty. Amen. As long as it does not violate his word or violate who he is in the earth. So we're living in this season, which means that we are being held accountable for actions taken in the season. And that's just the way it is. Glory to God. But we have to be in readiness. I guess that's what I'm saying. We have to be in readiness for that is ahead of us. So Christmas has to count, not because of the celebration of things and stuff, but because it's the appointed day of celebration of the birth of Jesus. And many of us know that he was not born on the 25th of December. He was probably born during the Feast of Tabernacles. But the fact is that everybody is celebrating his birthday today, which gives him honor today. Amen. So we have to, and I don't know where that quite had to come forth, but I just felt that tug in my spirit. So we're in the season of his name being raised. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Listen, if I'm standing at the counter buying a gift, I'm honoring the day, whether I'm consciously aware of it or not. I'm thinking in my heart to present a gift to someone. Well, what was Jesus as a Christ child but a gift? What is him but a gift? The Hanukkah, celebration of light, the oil that was to last a day that burned for 8 days, the presence of God moving in the midst of his people. We cannot eradicate it. We cannot dissipate it. It can't go away. That's where we are. So we take advantage of the understanding that God is, Jesus' word, God is trumping everything that we would try to have in place. He's moving by his spirit according to his purpose and his plan. One of the worst places we can be is outside of the plan of God. One of the worst places we could be, especially as those who call his name, is outside of his purpose, outside of his plan. And he never keeps us outside of purpose or plan except by our own will. So he wants us to be in a place that we understand clearly what it is that he is doing in this time and in this season so that we can function in that place of victory. Some of the greatest days of confusion are always orchestrated by us being outside of his will. And outside of his will means that we have been drugged outside of our purpose. And being drugged outside of our purpose is not a place of peace and joy and those things that go along with the exactness of being in his purpose. Amen. So I wanted to just kind of get that word stirring in all of us this morning and help us to see that there are dark places that need our appearance. There's dark places that need not only our appearance, but our awareness of where we appear. We have to get fueled up in this season and so that we can function in according to the purpose and plan of God. Where we are right now and what's ahead of us is probably one of the most crucial engagements in life we will experience, because it's all wrapped up in transition. It's all moving in that same construct, and that construct is constantly being unfolded before us. So we have the purpose in our heart to be in a place that we don't miss what God is doing, especially when it's dealing personally with us. If everyone on this line, everyone on this call, everyone that will listen via the internet, there's a personal engagement with the Spirit that has nothing to do with whoever else is on this call or whoever else is listening on the internet. It's personal. It's up close and personal. And we have got to take it as up close and personal and not like we have a whole lot of time to get it together. No. When God brings something to us, when God says, when I bring something to your attention, it is the time. When I bring something to your attention, I hear the Lord say, it is your exact time. Attention, you don't have a whole lot of time to get it. You must get it in the moment that I get it, give it to you, because many moments after that, it'll be too late. It will have passed. Glory to God. Somebody wrote that down. Amen. But it is an exact moment, and God is an exact God, and he's moving in an exact season for an exact purpose, and that is his kingdom will bear on the earth as it is in heaven. So we are in this place right now, and our allegiance is to the King of Glory, that we will be able to manifest in the earth the purpose that he sent us in the earth and be victorious on his behalf for that which he's given us to do in this time, in this season. Amen. And I am run out of time. We're at the end of our 30 minutes. But let me just press for a minute and say to those of you that hear me that there is a divine path right in front of you. Your foot is on it. Do not trip over it. Make sure you plant it on solid ground. Be where God has called you to be and do what he has called you to do in this hour. Not where people have called you to, but what God has sent you to. Amen. Not what you want to be, but what he has ordained for us to be since before the foundation of the earth. We must make some hard decisions. We must make some definite choices. We must move according to his purpose and plan. We will not get another opportunity. That's just the way it goes. Amen. So the King of Glory, glory to God, on this day, for us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have a Merry Christmas. Talk to you next week. This is Morning Manna, and this has been Apostle Diane Chappelle. Amen. Bless you.